and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host. And Mike, we're coming as always from the beautiful, the historic B.B. McKinney Studios in Music City, USA, Nash Vegas, as some have called it, Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm excited today about our topic, Mike. It's called We Love Tech Guys.
Yeah.
And even as I speak to you, I can hear my voice in my headphones.
Yes.
It is amplified.
We have microphones that
I've
are working.
I've asked them to add a lot of bass. As you know, I'm a tenor, and
yes,
so my radio voice is too high-pitched for comfortable listening.
Exactly.
So we do love tech guys today while we're recording a podcast, but in worship, man, you live and you die.
You know what?
By that relationship.
Here's every worship guy I know would admit this, but you're really not who's leading your ministry. The guy that's back there at the soundboard is really who's leading your ministry.
And
even further, the soul that is running the lyric projection, they're really leading your ministry. So yeah, it's a great subject. And, you know, I think we ought to start with what do we mean by tech guy? Because it means different things. I'm thinking about a church right now that they have a guy that runs the sound, and he gets to the service about 15 minutes ahead of time, just make sure all the mics are on, and he hits one button and the lights come on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all he does. But that's important. And he's somebody that, you know, if he's triggering a track back there or whatever the need might be, but it's a pretty simple role, kind of understated. And there's only one of him in the church. He might have somebody that backs him up if in case he's sick. All the way to a church, and I've got another church in mind that has a director of technical services.
Right.
And he's got
media director.
A media director. He's got a video department. They're doing pre and post service video roles. They're doing promotional videos. They're doing sermon bumper videos and testimonial things.
Yeah.
And so they've got video production and audio production, and then they're streaming their services and they've got post production audio and at the technical
board.
Selling
the pastor's books.
Exactly. Yeah. At the technical board in the control center of the worship center, there's not one person sitting there. There's like seven.
Yeah.
And one of them's calling TV cues, and one of them's triggering the
iMag. Take
camera three. Exactly. Yeah. So the range of what we mean by tech guy is literally that wide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are churches that if we call their name, everybody knows them, that have a broadcast team that would rival any network.
Right.
You know, just.
And then I grew up in churches. We had a sound guy.
Exactly.
And just as a soloist, I wanted to be friends with the sound guy.
Yeah. So we're not talking about those specific roles today. We're talking about how, as a worship leader, you relate to the tech people that are part of your ministry, because they are vital. They're
and
very
often,
vital.
Mike, in my experience, they're technical more than they're musical. And for me, most of the time, I just had a sound guy. But even then, the majority of the time, it was somebody who really was tech savvy, who liked gadgets and slides and buttons and machines, but really didn't know music, and really a lot of times didn't have a feel for the flow of a worship service, when we need to pray, when it should get loud. You know, one of my biggest frustrations with sound guys is sometimes it's supposed to get louder. That's called a dynamic in music. And they want to keep the volume exactly the same all the time and lose any dynamic. So anyway, I know we're going to get into a little more specific details. But I think to me, Mike, one of the biggest challenges is a lot of times you're dealing with technical people handling musical and spiritual and ministry things. And that's tough.
Well, I would say to any ministry leader out there that, especially when you begin a ministry, this could be true. Maybe you've been at your church 10 years. You could start this now if you haven't already done it. But early on in the process of building a team and the a person technically that's supporting you, you've got to invest in that relationship. I mean, you've got to develop a close, open communication, a relationship of trust, of where you've got each other's back, where you're supporting one another, where you're communicating at a very high level and a good level. You've got to spend some energy developing this relationship.
Maybe watch Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah,
so
take
you
them
get
to
the
a
references.
Movie. Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Well, and it really is true. You've got to invest in that relationship. You've got to early on say, hey, you and I are going to be working really, really closely together, and I really want us to develop a friendship and a relationship here where we can do this well with each other. Far too many times, and there's no doubt in my mind that there's somebody listening to this right now, that as soon as I finish this sentence, they're going to say, That's me. Mm-hmm. Far too many times, the relationship between the technical support person and the ministry leader, worship leader, is a contentious one.
Yeah, adversarial, for
it's
sure.
It's an adversarial. Yeah. And they tolerate each other, and they kind of walk around eggshells with each other, and they just kind of grit their teeth. And
guard their turf.
And guard their turf. And you know what? Nobody wins. That, as a matter of fact, worst of all, the church loses, because the capability and the technical production is not going to be what it ought to be in an environment where the leaders are not and respecting one another.
Yeah, a statement I hear all the time, Mike, is the sound guy going, "You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand what I'm dealing with." And I think it would be a lot, you know, and the tendency to say, "Well, you don't understand what I'm dealing with up here on the musical stage and what we need." And I think it's an openness to say, "You know what? You're right. I don't."
Yeah.
Tell me what you're dealing
with. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and I think the starting place for this relationship to be built, there's a personal starting place where we just care about each other personally. But whether that's one tech guy you work with or 20,
right,
doesn't matter how many, you've got to care personally about those people as a ministry leader, as a someone that's serving in spiritual leadership. But you've got to get on the same page in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. So so early in that relationship, or at least at a starting point in the relationship, is a conversation that's like, what matters to you the most when we are having our worship services here? What are you aiming for?
Yeah.
And that's not just the tech guy asking that question. That's the worship leader asking that question. What do you focus on? What's important to you? What are the priorities?
Right.
And then agreeing together, what's the end result of what we want to have happen on Sunday with the music that we do and the technical support that we have in a worship service?
Right.
How do we define success in this? And think about what some of those, here's something that I would say to a tech guy to answer that question. I would say, you know, success for me would be no distractions.
Yeah.
Nothing that will take away from what we're trying to say and sing and
like
share.
Like that annoying buzz that we just got rid
we
of.
We just
thanks
turned
to our
an
tech
air conditioner
guy.
Off. Yeah. Exactly. So what would be a distraction, and how can we eliminate distraction? That'd be one question to ask. And then talk about what are some of the distractions. And you'd say something like, well, you know, the baptistry mic not working is a distraction.
Yeah.
How do we eliminate that? Yeah. And on and on. I mean, there's a million examples you could give. So that would be one of the ways to get on the same page.
And the other side is, what is distracting him from being able to do his job? In my experience, Mike, a lot of times that's too many voices, too many people.
Yeah.
And one of the ones is, and please don't repeat this to any of the senior pastor, but the senior pastor who can really, if he tries to take that tech guy's ear, and especially 5 minutes before the service, you know, and so that's where you have to really play. You have to have your tech guy's back, and you need to be the one to intercede on his behalf with the senior pastor or the lady that wants the announcement slide put up or whatever it is. You know, I think if you can form a partnership there where you protect each other.
Here's the way I used to do that. That's a great point, Brian. And here's the way I used to do that. In churches, I've had this conversation several times when I've gone to a church. I would tell a sound guy my expectation, one of my expectations of him, and then I'd make a promise to him. And man, did my sound guys at first kind of, what do you mean? But then later would hug my neck about this. I would tell my sound guy, you got one set of ears to make happy in the music of our church. And he's looking like, and I'd say, mine. My ears, at the end of the day, I bear the personal responsibility of what the music and what we do in worship, what it sounds like and how impactful it is. I am going to be the one that stands before our church leadership and ultimately the Lord himself and give account for those things. You've got one set of ears to please me. Now, and here's what I would tell him. I would say, if Martha tells you it's too loud and you turn it down.
Now, you don't mean your mother, Mark.
No, I'm not talking about my mother, Mark.
You might want to pick a different name.
All right, let's pick a different name. If Chastity.
Yes.
If Chastity says it's too loud and you turn it down, then Chastity has just become the sound man of my church.
Right.
And I'm not trusting Chastity. She doesn't know what she's doing. You know what I'm saying? About sound.
For our listeners, Chastity's producing and she's in the room right now. So we're giving her a hard time.
You have just handed control to that one person who may not be right. As a matter of fact, I would almost guarantee you they're wrong about what their opinion is. But a sound guy that responds to every voice in the church that would speak to them, that's a nightmare. So here's what I would tell that guy. I don't expect you to respond to any of those people. And as a matter of fact, go to the soundboard and don't touch it and then go back and say, is that better? And almost every time she'll say, yes, thank you. And then a rehearsal here, you can really save. I used to tell all the orchestra, all the band, every singer, you do not give direction to the sound guy. Right. You never do. You never say, I need more of my voice in the monitor. Never. You come to me and you say, we need more vocal in the monitor. I will talk about that with you. And if I disagree with you, I will say, no, I don't think we do. I think actually we need this. But I would tell the singers, you don't tell the sound man that. I tell him. And we get it, that single voice speaking to him. You've actually simplified his world big time.
I will never forget, Mike, hearing you talk about this. When our kids were playing Little League sports, whether that be soccer, baseball, whatever it was. And my wife was a tremendous athlete in school, and so she's also very competitive.
That makes one.
Yes, yeah, exactly. There's no doubt. We played in a co-ed softball team, and she batted in front of me. And there's no doubt. She's a way better athlete than me. But she would yell, you know, instructions. And then of course, the child knows his mother's voice and listens. But the coach is also trying to instruct the child. And I used to have to delicately say, now, honey, he's going to have a really hard time listening to his coach if we're shouting at him at the same time. And if you've ever been to a Little League game, there's a lot of parents coaching at the same time the coaches, and it's just mayhem. And that's what a lot of us have in our rehearsal right before Sunday morning is mayhem, because everybody's shouting at the kid, and the poor kid can't tell which way he's supposed to turn.
No, and he can't play, and they give him opposite direction. And
no doubt.
You know, I coached Little League baseball for many years, and in my parent meeting at the start of the season, I would say to my parents, one of the most important things for your son to learn this season is how to listen to my voice.
Yeah.
And he can't do that if you're barking at him with the instruction of what he's cheer for them. Yes. But let him listen to my voice as his coach. If he doesn't learn how to do that, he won't be as successful.
It's the same principle in the ministry.
Same principle. Yeah. So I would tell anybody in the ministry, my voice, and that's not a control thing for me. It's a responsibility thing. I would take input from everybody.
Oh, sure.
But the sound guy gets really put, and the lighting guy and the video guy, they all get put in these strange positions when everybody's giving them direction. So you can love your tech guy by just taking that pressure off of.
Yeah, and Mike, another thing is just to recognize. You know, I think of tech guys too a lot like referees and umpires, in that the only time those people get recognized is when they do something wrong. And so we've got to do a better job of recognizing them when, you know, you folks probably didn't notice it tonight, but not a single mic cue was missed.
Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly.
You may not have noticed it today, but every slide was up and the words were right. And I just want to think.
Yeah.
So to recognize them when they do it right, instead of just, obviously we all notice when something goes wrong. But I think that's just really, really important.
And I think recognition is a big key. So we've talked about the personal relationship. We've talked about taking pressure off by giving them a single point of responsibility.
Yeah.
Here's another thought. How about doing a really great job communicating with them? How about before the pressure is on of the service happening, you've already done a really great job. Here's what we're doing. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what you can expect. And you've protected your technical team by making sure they are very well informed about what the expectations are and about what's going to be happening and what you need them to be able to do. Sometimes they don't perform at the highest level because we haven't told them what's happening.
Right.
We haven't given them enough perspective. We 5 minutes before the service starts, by the way, we need that guitar we need a direct line for this guitar that we didn't. And you're just, when you add chaos because of poor communication, you've just increased the chances that they're going to make a mistake. And to your earlier point, a mistake that they will be blamed for, but in reality, it's really not their fault. You didn't tell them what was going to happen.
Any successful production I've ever been a part of has a separate technical rehearsal that is even separate from the singers and the whole everybody being there. We have a tech rehearsal, and I know a lot of people do this, but it's something I had to learn through trial and error.
I used to do that.
When I first got associated with ministries that I wasn't leading because I didn't know what I was doing, and found people who knew what they were doing to have those separate tech rehearsals. So making sure those guys are prepared is absolutely critical.
Give them a chance to win. I mean, give them a shot at it. But, you know, I want to kind of turn the page a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk to the tech guy a little bit, just me and you talking to him. What are some things, just from your standpoint, Brian, that the tech guy can do to make that relationship and that experience be even better with the – do you have any thoughts that come to mind? Because I've got a idea or two.
Well, it's the personality of someone who is involved in sound. I found, and there's no, I don't want to stereotype here, I found more introverts seeking out that kind of a role. And I found most of the tech people that I've worked with, which obviously is not a representative sample of tech people in the world, but the ones I've worked with have tended to be more introverted and less likely to approach me. As worship leaders, most people who stand on the platform for a living, they tend to be more extroverted. So I do feel like the onus has usually taken that responsibility. But if I could talk to a tech guy, I would say to just do the reverse of some of the things that we're trying to do for you. I want to understand the limitations you have with technology. I need you to understand, and maybe some tech guys could be proactive to go to the Minister of Music. You know, I think of something Eric Geiger says a lot, who's our vice president, and the way he leads, that he looks for feedback from the people he leads. He asks them, what am I doing you want me to keep doing? What am I doing I should stop doing? And what am I doing that you want me not doing? Yeah. And I think a tech guy could go to his worship leader and say those things. Hey, what am I doing that you want me to keep doing? What am I doing that you want me to stop doing? And what am I not doing that I need to start doing?
Yeah.
Those would be three great questions for a tech person to ask his minister of music.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I would say to any tech guy, put your position and make your disposition one of service.
Mm.
Now, I would say a minister of music should have that same disposition, that you're not there to be served, but to serve. But if you're a tech guy, you would go a long way to earning the trust and faith and goodwill of the people that you serve with in worship ministry if you just became really, really servant-oriented, that your intentions was to not make your job easier or take pressure off you. You would actually view it as, what can I do to serve, to take pressure off of them, to be accommodating, to have a real servant mindset. Because, I mean, it's happened when I've had guys, I was in an event not very long ago, won't talk about where or what or anything like that, where the tech guy had this attitude that we were there to serve him and that our job was to make what he was doing easier.
I think I was at that event with you.
You were at that event with me. And he just had an attitude from the moment we started the sound check.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when the tech guy is it everything. Don't ever have an attitude about what your responsibility is. Like, we're going to need one more microphone. Oh, I can't believe it. If you just told me. I mean, you know, you begin to get this attitude. That never accomplishes what you want it to accomplish. Yeah. When you have a aura about you that says, I'm here to be served, then you're already behind the eight ball. But I'm going to tell you the sound guys I love. The ones who are like, man, what can I do? How can I help? Can I get that for you? Can I move that there? The ones that serve. And you know who comes to mind is the guy that leads the technical team here at Lifeway, old Kevin Jarrell.
Oh, man.
Isn't he one of the best you've ever seen?
He's Kevin
Jarrell leads the team that does the technical support of little events like Beth Moore Living Proof Live,
right,
where, you know, 20,000 people are in an arena.
Yeah.
And this guy has the attitude, do you need a water bottle? I'll go get it for you.
He
leads this massive team of technical people, and he's got the biggest servant attitude. And I'll tell you what that engenders when the tech guy's that way. It makes the people he serves want to serve him back.
Mm.
You want to communicate. Want to help. You want to make his job easier because he is so willing to do whatever you need him to do. I guess a good way to wrap this up, Brian, is to say to our guys out there, pay attention to this relationship.
Yeah.
Be sensitive to these people that are serving you with lights and sound and all the other technical things that might be going on in your church. Invest in them personally. spend the money to send them to a one-day conference. Invest in them. Take them to a conference with you. Spend time together. Involve them in production meetings where they can get information that they wouldn't get otherwise. And as you greatly said a few minutes ago, recognize them, acknowledge their contribution, build them up, support them, encourage them, have their back, defend them when they're under attack, and get them on your team, because it is not in your interest to not be on the same team with your tech crew.
Amen. And Mike, the one thing I would add to that, you know, thinking about the attitude we would want of a tech person or worship leader or anybody, really, it's just that fruit of the Spirit, the the patience, the peace, the gentleness, the kindness. And so it strikes me, we just often, I think, when we think about, a lot of times in our ministries, we think about discipling our choir, discipling our praise team. But do we think about discipling our tech guy? Are we concerned about his spiritual development? Do we talk to him about what he's reading in the Word, what the Lord's dealing with him about? Because if you're talking about being a disciple maker as a worship leader, which, Mike, I know your heart is, we need, we're making disciples, not music. That's true for your tech crew, too, and we need to be discipling them,
Brian,
as well.
I'm embarrassed that you thought of that. I didn't bring that up. You're exactly right. Love these people, pastor these people, shepherd these people. And I tell you what, if you'll take good care of the people God's given you that serve in this way, God will send you more of them.
He will.
God will send you more people if you'll shepherd the ones you have well.
I agree. In our next podcast, Mike, I think we're going to talk about shepherding versus artistry. And that's going to be an interesting topic. So we thank you for listening to today to the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harland. Please continue to email us, worship@lifeway.com. Tell us topics you'd like to talk about. We'd love to hear your tech stories, your tech nightmares.
I want to make this request, too.
We
haven't asked in a while, but it sure would help us if you just rate and review the podcast.
Absolutely.
You'd go to iTunes and and just rate it and review it and share it. It's not because we got all this smart. I mean, we've just had a lot of experience along the road, and we bring in other experts from time to time. But we really do want to grow this community of people that are talking about these kind of issues so that we can all serve the Lord together better.
Absolutely. It's a good word, Mike. And yeah, that's the way people discover the podcast, is when they when it's rated. That helps us get the word out about the important topic of worship. Also, when you email us at worship@lifeway.com, let us know how we can specifically pray for your church. The Worship Life staff does that every week, and we want to know how to do that specifically. So thanks for listening today. We hope you've gotten something from the discussion about how much we love our tech guys, and we'll look forward to being back with you again really soon here at the Worship Life Podcast.